Nathaniel X with Commander Q.
36 Jesuífe Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q. 3.
On Spirit Long Radio Long Radio
Loving ain't gonna work. Test batteries 1, 2, 3. Test batteries 1, 2, 3. Test batteries 1, 2, 3. This is volume 9 of my voice journal. August 29th, 1999. 9:39 a.m. Pacific time. Driving just over the Nevada border on Interstate 80 west. The landscape around us is completely mountains and desert. And well, if you look way to your left, it looks like it's more desert than even close, though maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's an optical illusion. The desert here is... So most of the desert near the road is covered with scrub brush, and that might have been soft flats. That would have made sense. We're into Nevada, and at the other end of the day is Black Rock Desert.
Black Rock City.
And Chuck. Spirits off to an early start, ready to conclude the trip and begin the next one that starts when we land Ruby, the pink-red Ford Escort, in her spot, leave her there for a week, and proceed. More later. Okay, it's 9:44 a.m. Eastern Time, still August 29th, 1999, I-80 West. Still not too far into Nevada. And we're going to read the 1999 Burning Man Survival Guide. Yes?
Yes.
Required reading. The Struggle to Survive. Burning Man is about radical self-expression and radical self-reliance. We are a self-governing community, and you are primarily responsible for your well-being. As a participant in Burning Man, you must bring all necessities to the desert. Food, we're going to get. Shelter, we have. Water, we have. Fuel. Yeah, fuel. Everything you need to survive. Above and beyond this provision for individual survival, we request you help ensure our collective survival. Tap, tap, tap on your shoulder. The following rules are necessarily cast in negative terms. They're ultimately intended, however, to preserve the integrity and creative freedom of our community. They are very simple and relate to basic livability and safety at this event. The necessary shared concern of everyone. Upon tendering your ticket and entering our private site, you become a citizen of Black Rock City and we expect it to abide by these standards. Community membership is a privilege. Any violation of these simple requirements could result in the loss of your right to be among us. In short, you can be required to leave. If you need guidance, please speak to a Black Rock Ranger. 1. Do not drive your car in camp. Be prepared to come to Black Rock City and anchor your vehicle at your campsite. No cruising. Except for specially marked vehicles, no cars will be allowed on the open playa. Black Rock City is for pedestrians and bicycles, designed for pedestrians and bicycles. When entering and leaving our site, please observe posted speed limits 5 miles per hour within city limits. 2. Respect fire rules. High winds create a serious fire hazard within the densely settled confines of our city. Campfires are restricted to designated fireplaces on the pedestrian boulevard that immediately fronts the open desert and within the public plazas of our 4 mapped villages. Any structures must be within 50 feet from these designed fireplaces. Neither campfires nor fireworks are permitted in Black Rock City. In particular, aerial flares are very dangerous. Drifting to the ground in unpredictable spots, these flares are an extreme hazard, safety hazard. Please do not use candles or tiki torches in your camp. In addition, hay bales are not allowed. They instantly ignite, creating a volatile blaze. Respect designated artworks. They will be burned by the artists who created them. 3. The open display or discharge of firearms is prohibited. Now we're in trouble, man. Should you bring a firearm, please keep it under lock and key within your vehicle. Neither our campground nor the greater playa are suitable for recreational shooting. 4. Respect public boundaries. The playa is administered by a federal agency, the Bureau of Land Management, for purposes of public recreation. You're free to travel in Black Rock City on foot or bicycle. There is no direct automobile access to the greater Black Rock Desert from our city. The marked area immediately fronting our city is reserved for works of art. Do not drive or camp here. The land immediately behind our city is reserved for low-density camping. No automobile traffic is allowed in this area. You must park your vehicle and portage your belongings to your campsite. 5. Burning Man supports both federal laws and the laws of the state of Nevada. Very practically, this means you should comport yourself with regard to these laws as you would in any municipality. We intend to cooperate fully with state authorities. Burning Man also supports the First Amendment. We are devoted to radically free self-expression. We recommend that you behave as you would anywhere with intelligent discretion. Burning Man does not promote or condone the use of drugs or public sex acts. We respect your right to privacy, and we have no intention of harassing individuals in their private space. We do, however, suggest that drug use in a physically challenging and hazardous environment may be ill-advised. We offer one general thought. Individuals take drugs to alter their consciousness, but the consciousness of Black Rock City is already altered. It is an environment filled with bizarre creative visions. Perhaps the best response is a creative one. 6. No one will be admitted without a valid registration ticket from Burning Man 99. Which you have?
I have.
I have in my bag, and I have yours, and I have mine. Your ticket is a revocable license. Violation of these rules or violent and antisocial behavior can result in revocation of your ticket and ejection from the event without refund. No one under 18 admitted without an adult. Well, that's interesting. Our gate will open at sunrise on Monday, August 30th. At that time, the admission price is $105 per person and increased $5 each day. The man will burn at sunset on Saturday, September 4th. Our community will disperse on Monday, September 6th.
That makes sense. I'm going to do a tape check.
Seven, dogs are not welcome at Burning Man. Most pet owners are not prepared to provide the additional care needed for their animals in the Black Rock Desert environment. Stray dogs are also likely to get shot by local ranchers or killed by coyotes. They are a burden to both Black Rock City and local communities. Dogs are not people. If you insist on treating your dog as a person and bring it to our event, we will charge you the admission fee of a person. 8. Sound levels emitted from any camp should not cause serious disruption to adjacent camps. Sound systems which exceed 300 watts are prohibited. Sound levels produced by any electronic system or device should not exceed 90 decibels outside of a camper village. We suggest you talk to your neighbors. If a problem with sound levels continues after complaints and sufficient warning, the source of power for such a device or system may be removed and temporarily confiscated. 9. All participants are required to remove their own trash and garbage. No trash receptacles or bins will be provided. Burning Man will provide only portable toilets which will be emptied on a regular basis. Contribute to our long-term survival. Pack it in, pack it out. Leave no trace. Tread lightly. Do not deposit garbage in neighboring towns. A public landfill is located conveniently off of Interstate 80.
Going the other way, I think.
Going that way. In the town of Lockwood, near the eastern outskirts of Reno. That's where it's about.
But I'm going west, going towards California.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But depending how far it is, maybe we'd go there anyway.
And the thing of it is that we have enough room for our stuff. It's just the weight that's the problem. If we have empty water boxes that we have to wait a while to throw away,
that's fine.
It's not a big deal. And we won't have all the books, so that'll be a weight that we won't be carrying back.
Right. Everything we have, we already have, so there's no additional weight.
It's just going to be lighter.
It's just, it smells, but we don't so far have any garbage, any food that's going to make garbage that smells.
Right.
I think we should keep that.
Yeah.
Although if we get canned food, that might, but the cans will be dried out by the time we leave.
9. No commercial vending. No vending is allowed at Burning Man. Our central cafe will provide espresso, ice, and a few other items as a public service. Well, that's nice. So we could get ice there.
Yeah, that's one thing you can get there is ice. You can't bring in enough ice to keep us for a bad amount of time.
That makes sense. Okay. The desert. The desert is a place worlds away from that to which most of us are accustomed and governed by physical laws which cannot be ignored. You are responsible for your own survival, safety, and comfort. Read this carefully and make sure everyone in your group reads it as well. What you must bring. 2 gallons of water per person per day for drinking, washing, food preparation. Keep a bottle of water with you at all times. Speaking of which, I've just drunk my last soda. I have water if you can reach it. At which point, you can reach it. Thank you. Enough food / beverages and ice for your entire party. We've got beverages. And anything beyond water will be in Chuck's bar.
Except in the last one of the newsletters that we should be sure to bring. If you wanted to bring alcohol, you should bring it.
And
if you wanted to drink alcohol, you should bring it. But I suppose that's true with like soda too.
But aren't we serving it?
Yeah.
What am I missing? What am I missing?
I guess that the point is that it hasn't got enough for everybody in Totem to just drink it the whole time. It's got enough. The theory is that the Totem people bring their own, and I guess the bar stuff is for the guests.
Well, I'm not going to drink a ton of beer. But an occasional beer would be nice.
Well, we get bar chips.
We get bar chips?
One per day.
Do we get to spend them?
Yeah, one per day.
We get one drink per day?
I guess so. I think so.
Well, I'll go to the rolling bar car. Or stick with the simpler solution. LSD and power bars. And water. Okay, anyway, let's move on. Let's see if we can stress about each of these items that we already have.
Okay.
Let's find subtle ways.
Okay.
Okay, I'm up for it. We'll play the stress game.
The air bushes, see their little curly round green bushes?
Right, and they're bigger. They're different than the other ones. All right, first aid kit. Oh no, we didn't get the naval first aid kit.
We have a camping first aid kit.
But we don't have the name. Well, what if there's water? What if there's a sea out there?
Did you just not read the one before that? There's no water. You have to bring your own.
No. Water. Well, what if someone brought enough water to make like a sea?
Well,
and there were boats?
You just stay away from it because we don't have the right first aid kit.
You fail in that round. You failed in the stressing first kit round. You were unable to stress on that one. Warm clothing for evenings.
warm clothing for evenings. You did your best, you brought a long sleeve shirt. And you know I have warm clothing because you've been wearing it for the last 2 days.
Yes, you do. And nothing's warmer than a coat of nymphs. Well, whoever happens to be around is going to be dug.
We have blankets. You can walk around swathed in a blanket.
Swathed in a blanket. Bedding and shelter of some type, the winds can exceed 75 miles per hour and the midday sun can reach 100 degrees. A good camp tent is recommended along with warm sleeping bags. Garbage bags, any required prescriptions, contact lenses, supplies, or whatever else you need to maintain your health and comfort in a remote area with no services. I brought mushrooms. Wow. Tanker pulling a bonus tanker. Flashlights and spare batteries. Headlamps are useful.
Check, check, check.
Sun green.
Oh my god, what if the headlamps don't work?
Sun green.
Is that good?
No.
Insincere.
No, your sincere stressing is based in a pseudo rationalism. It's not like the high pitched arms waving around. It's the very calm kind of stressing.
The kind that can't be denied because there's some basis of fact at the bottom of it.
The kind in which the emotive part of the psyche has rooted out whatever far stray edge of connection with reality and jury-rigged it to something.
Silver's own past salvation was denied authority.
Yes. Anyway.
And jury-rigged it with something.
Oh, it doesn't matter. You know how you stress.
Look at these beautiful bushes. They're green with yellow flowers.
Desert. Sunscreen, sunblock, lotion, and sunglasses. Will you torch?
Check.
Fire extinguishers if you plan to burn your art. Only in the man's fire. So. Common sense, an open mind, and a positive attitude. I don't know, maybe we should go back, man. Positive attitude. We're wavering on that.
We're okay.
We're doing okay?
We're okay.
See, that's me of stressing. The nice even keel. I'm out of my fucking mind, but I'm talking really nice and calmly now. Shafter. Okay. We strongly suggest you, but so we brought all the things that we must bring, right? Water,
yes,
food,
now we get to the things.
First aid, warm clothing, bedding, garbage bags, prescriptions, flashlights, sunscreen, fire extinguishers, we don't need those.
Oh my god, I forgot my Valium.
We strongly suggest you bring shade structures, check, umbrellas, check, parasols, sheets.
Umbrellas, check? Yeah, I have an umbrella someplace.
Yeah. Parasols.
No parasols.
Sheets?
No sheets.
Ugh.
Forgot the sheets.
Something to break the cruel midday sun.
That would be several large floppy hats.
A wide brim hat.
Check. See above.
A cooking stove. You expect to heat food or liquid?
Check.
Bicycles?
No.
Portable shower?
Yes.
Earplugs?
Yes.
Ziploc bags?
Not yet.
Heavy Ziploc bags. Lotion?
This isn't the only spot that was mentioned. Huh? Someone on the list had Ziploc bags every other item on their list for like 4 pages.
Really?
Yeah.
For cameras or electronic gear you may bring. Oh, interesting. Lotion, lip balm to treat cracked skin.
Yes.
Smokers bring portable ashtrays, i.e. an empty candy tin. Well, you're bringing that for the smokers.
Yes.
Costumes, musical instruments, props, banners, signs, and anything else you can think of that might make the experience more fun for you and your quiet neighbors.
500 pounds of books.
Fire extinguisher, don't need it. A radio, yes. Rain gear.
Yes, ponchos.
Toilet paper?
Not yet.
So, toilet paper and food and air bags, baggies. Camp marker, flag, flasher, distinctive marking. That's going to be
check.
Your sign.
Check. Yes, check. That's a fine totem. That's to find where you live.
Oh.
Now you can check the lead and charge it up.
Okay. Helpful things to bring. Tire repair bike, repair kit for bikes, sewing kit, rope and or string.
We have rope and string
and bungee sewing cords.
And bungee cords. And enough bungee cords to bungee the rope together.
Handy wipes.
We don't have those.
Oh,
they're supposed to be really nice.
Another thing.
I don't like the smell of them.
Wet ones don't smell like a baby, it says in parentheses.
I leave it to the list keeper.
What? So you want to get wet ones?
Well, if we got them, we'd get that kind against wet ones.
Duct tape?
We have duct tape.
Spray bottle for misting with water?
We don't have that, and that's a really good thing.
Oh, Lord. Kill me now. Whisk broom?
Give me a pen, please.
No.
Please?
No.
Why not?
So you're going to write something down that we have to buy. There you go.
Yeah, junk list.
No, your list is not official. Would you like me to write it on my hand? Even though I don't sanction it? What am I writing?
Wet ones.
Yeah.
Missed bottom.
Missed. Whisk broom.
Whisk broom?
No, don't eat, not bring it. Rugs? Yes.
No. Oh, yeah, we have those little rugs.
Folding chairs, yes. Thing to trade with your neighbors, yes. Particle slash dust mats, yes.
No, but we have bandanas, which is the same thing.
We have those eye goggles.
Okay, in what way would that be? A dust mask.
Oh. So one's going to walk around with a floppy hat, goggles, and a bandana over one's face, and they say you need a costume.
Tunic.
Right. Your body versus the elements. Black Rock Desert is a thoroughly flat, prehistoric lake bed composed of hardpan alkali ringed by majestic mountains. Daytime temperatures routinely exceed 100 degrees and the humidity is extremely low, which rapidly and continually wicks the moisture out of your body. Wicks? It wicks the moisture. Wow. Because the atmosphere is so dry, you may not feel particularly warm, but you'll be steadily drying up. Lip balm and skin lotion are your best friends on the playa. It takes nearly everyone a day to acclimate to the desert climate. Begin drinking more water as you approach the desert. To stay healthy and enjoy the weekend, drink water all the time, whether you think you need it or not. Drink 1 gallon of water per person per day is the rule of thumb. Users of alcohol, caffeine, and other drugs are particularly at risk for dehydration and should pay careful attention to their water intake. Dehydration can cause headaches, stomach cramps, abdominal pains, constipation, or flu-like symptoms. It exacerbates, oh, this is the stress paragraph. It exacerbates both heat-related and cold-related conditions, i.e. both sunstroke and hyperthermia, and makes it difficult for the body to mend itself. If someone you know complains of these symptoms or shows signs of either severe overheating or worse, a case of the chills under the midday sun, get them to shade immediately and seek proper, prompt medical help. In case of an emergency, contact a ranger or go to our medical station in Center Camp. Medical aides are always on call and evacuation is available. You cool with all that? Drink water.
Yeah. Remember.
States, that's not good?
Yeah.
Press your arm.
It makes a white spot.
It makes a white spot.
It should go away almost instantly.
Mine goes away almost instantly. You've been drinking more water than me.
There's a cracker
Some signs that you may not be drinking enough water. You don't carry a water bottle with you at all times. You sip instead of drinking deeply. You wait until you're thirsty to drink, too late. Your urine is anything but clear and cold, clear and abundant, sorry. Beating the heat and the cold. Make sure you bring some kind of shade for your camp and try to lie low during the hottest part of the day. Save your strength for the night. Use sunscreen, sunglasses, hat, and water. If you don't
take a few basic steps to protect yourself, the desert's midday sun will cook you like a hot dog. When the sun drops over the horizon, temperatures can quickly plummet 50 degrees. Overnight lows in the 40s can seem exceptionally cold after extensive daytime sun, so you'll want a warm jacket and a good sleeping bag. See, so I can stress about not bringing my leather jacket. Said no.
Okay.
So now I'm passing the stress to you. Mm-hmm. You can stress about me not having my jacket.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you all my warm clothes.
God, I won't even be able to move by the time you're done. I'll just stand there wrapped in 50 pounds of clothes. Help! Help! A few words about storms. The playa can be subject to sudden bouts of fierce, unpredictable weather. Storm cells, fed by rising thermals that stream upward from the surrounding mountains, may arise in the late afternoon or early evening and bring high winds, lightning, and sometimes rain into camp. Likewise, dust storms can prowl the playa in packs. Prowling dust storms. Or sweep in a broadened front across the plain. Suddenly besetting us, they may produce instant whiteouts. Seek immediate shelter and stay there. If you're caught outside of shelter during this condition, this is good. I like this kind of advice. I don't like just all this panic stuff. I like, okay, you've told us now what to do. Okay. If you are caught outside of shelter during this condition, simply sit down, cover your face with your shirt, and wait. In the event of rain, again, remain where you are. Do not drive during these conditions. Rainfall here is quite selective and drains quickly. Severe conditions rarely last more than half an hour. Storms often come in with little or no warning. You need to keep your camp battened down at all times. This is especially true when you're away from your camp. Winds can exceed 75 miles an hour, and objects as large as sleeping bags, chairs, card tables, empty ice chests, and indeed tents themselves have been carried away by occasional high winds. Securing your camp. Try to position your tent in any shade structures to present the smallest possible profile to the wind, prevailing south-southwest to north-northeast. Weight the interior of the corners of your tent. Stakes which are 12 inches or longer are recommended.
Yeah, but on the San Francisco list, stakes which are 3 feet are recommended.
Which is 36 inches.
Right.
Links of rebar make excellent stakes, but all exposed ends must be capped. Empty 1-liter plastic soda bottles will do the trick to prevent foot leg injuries. So we're going to do that.
Our method.
At all times, keep objects, paper products, clothing, tarps, everything secure from the wind. This is a useful thing to be reading on the final day when we're actually arriving. It's a good idea. What's that?
Zip it in the tent, lock it in the car, or leave it in the tent.
Zip it in the tent, lock it in the car,
leave it in the tent.
Okay. Ropes or cables used to stabilize tents should be flagged, preferably with a white or reflective material. They are hazardous to pedestrians at night. Safety. Black Rock Rangers. It is the mission of the Black Rock Rangers to safeguard the community. Founded by the legendary Danger Ranger, this group of intrepid scouts is trained to assist all campers in emergencies, provide for our camp safety, answer questions, and distribute survival information. Ranger headquarters will be located in Central Camp with additional outposts in the north and south sections of the city.
Chuck's a ranger.
What?
Chuck is a ranger.
Really? Ranger Chuck. Major Chuck. You drive him crazy by delighting in his name. I like to find new ways to delight in his name, to drive him crazier. Law enforcement. This year, as in previous years, we'll be working with the Washoe County Sheriff's Department and other cooperating agencies from surrounding counties. They have at times assisted with search and rescue operations. These folks are not here to police your lifestyle. They are here to help in the event of a real emergency. While our community is remarkably crime-free, don't lose track of the fact that you are in a city Secure your valuables when you are away from your camp. Introduce yourself to your neighbors and your local Black Rock Ranger. Work with them to keep your neighborhood secure. Emergency medical care. If you or someone you know or encounter requires medical assistance, contact a Black Rock Ranger or visit our medical station in Central Camp. Trained emergency medical personnel will be on duty 24 hours a day, and emergency evacuation via ambulance or helicopter is available. According to our medical staff, the most common problems are dehydration, sunburn, including the eyes of some who forgot their sunglasses. I guess I should thank you for the sunshades things, the eyeglass shades you have. Sunburn and foot and leg wounds from stepping on unprotected rebar stakes. That's very... Keep in touch. The designated CB channel for Black Rock Communications is channel 23. Public information will be broadcast by our community radio station, Radio Free Burning Man, at 99.5, which we're immediately going to set on the dial, or as close as we can, given that it's probably not a station right now. We can't manually set it. FM. I just figured out the way to mainly. I don't know if I can do it again, but I just figured out a way to do it. You can do it. And to go the two, you know, up two.
Yeah.
No. It was like roaming the thing, and then I hit. Let's see. Let me see if I can do it. Let's see if I can do it. Okay. Hit scan, and then I hit seek. And I hit scan again. No, I hit AMS.
It says two, so now you go up and down.
Right, hold on. Scan. AMS, that's what that is. AMS, automatic manual scan. Don't drive off the road, please.
Okay.
So, AMS is automatic manual scan.
Okay. And then you can set it on button number 4.
And then, what do they do? Oops. How did I make it? I'm trying to set the clock.
Yeah, but look how cool that is. The radio is still with us, but we passed this.
But I've forgotten about it.
I'll tell you. Seriously.
God damn it. I'm looking. It's beautiful.
Now leave me alone.
What?
Now leave me alone.
Yes. I can't multitask more than one thing at a time. I have short memory. I perform few functions. That's alright. Let's just say that most of my memory is going toward trying to write the next thing I'm going to write whenever I write it. That's it. Okay.
That's so you're always multitasking, but your second channel is always on writing.
My first channel is always on writing. That's why I can't function in life. Everything else in life is on my second channel. In fact, it's not even on my second channel. It's on my third channel.
What's your second channel?
Art.
In general, as opposed to writing, in specific.
That's right. You got it. There's active art channel 1, passive art channel 2, and everything else channel 3.
That would explain some things.
Which things are those?
That was just too good to pass up. I don't have anything
particular in mind. That's good. What did they... Down. Oh, okay, I get it, I got it.
And then do you use the seek and scan or the volume
up and down? You hit AMS.
Yeah.
And then you hit seek. That's how you do it. Let me try one more time. Turn it off. Okay, now it's on. Now the radio's on. Hit AMS. It says tune. And then you can manually tune it. Okay.
Okay, well, if you want to set that station, can you set it
on? I'm setting it right now.
And the way you do it is you push the number 4 in and hold it for a long time.
Okay, the Black Rock Rangers will be in contact with all authorities. God, I used up almost all this entire tape. When should you need assistance? Okay. Travelers advisory, the state highways leading to Gerlach, the closest settlement to Black Rock City, and all other roads in the area are patrolled by the Nevada Highway Patrol. 25 miles per hour as posted in nearby towns means exactly that. Local kids and pets have been known to play in the road. Be careful. Outside of town, be prepared to share the road with livestock and wildlife. Digging holes. Do not excavate holes in the playa. Small post holes, 6 inches or less in diameter, is used for structural support of the sole exception. When digging such a hole, it is best to use an auger or post hole digger, not a shovel. Refill the hole by carefully tamping the soil back into place. Repeat this process every few inches while dampening the soil. An inverted sledgehammer works well for this. Experience has shown that larger holes, sometimes used to sound insulate generators or for pools, easily erode within a year's time, even when carefully backfilled. They leave a visible mark and create a serious safety hazard. Burning Man 911 radio communications. This talks about ham radio, so we don't have anything to do with that. Department of Mutant Vehicles.
That's the art cars.
Art cars. And it talks about garbage.
Next year, I think we'll make Ruby a coat to wear while she's there. Ruby won't be there next year. So she can be a pseudo art car.
She won't be there next year?
Well, next year we said we'd have to fly Ruby this time.
Oh, that's right. Ship Ruby there? Yes. Ground. Right now, Ruby. Okay, you want me to read the garbage thing?
Yeah.
Part of the beauty of the playa is its emptiness. Except for tire tracks and footprints, our policy is to leave the desert as the profoundly barren and empty corner of the world that it is. All Black Rock citizens are... have this on. I was wondering why I couldn't hear you, and I couldn't hear myself. All Black Rock citizens are expected to participate in our cleanup effort. Every camping party is responsible for its refuse. Leave nothing behind, including firewood, ashes, rocks, and cigarette butts. Pick it up and take it with you. Do not deposit your garbage bag in Gerlach, Reno, or any community unless there is a for-fee service run by an enterprising local, which you will be made aware of during the event. A public landfill is located conveniently off of Exit 22 from westbound Interstate 80 in the town of Lockwood near the eastern outskirts of Reno. One useful strategy is to try to reduce the weight, volume, and odor of the trash that your camp generates. Leave all unnecessary packaging at home. Choose cans over bottles and reusable containers over both. Prepare food. What?
Yes, because the cans, we don't have to take the cans. We can take them to recycle them.
Okay, good. Choose cans over bottles and reusable containers over both. Prepare food in sensible quantities that your group can finish at a single sitting. Leftovers will quickly become a liability. Bring plenty of trash bags and take care that your trash doesn't blow away. Consider bringing a waste container with a tight-fitting lid and secure it so it doesn't topple over. When on site, separate recyclable items. For those that find themselves with leftover aluminum cans, we encourage you to take them to Recycle Camp and Center Camp. Some of this material will be recycled into art. What?
Aluminum, so not steel cans, just soda cans.
Okay. And it talks about bicycles. Running etiquette, historical artifacts.
Yeah.
If you find something, please contact the Black Rock Ranger. The burning of public structures such as lampposts or bulletin boards is of course prohibited. Likewise, the burning of other people's artwork is also forbidden. Individual artists have the sole right to burn their own creation. This rule is simple. Do not burn other people's property. If you witness such vandalism, please inform a ranger. Freedom in the media. One primary tenet on the playa is simple. Do nothing that interferes with anyone's immediate experience. Do not jump in front of other people's view. Okay.
or interfere with anyone's participation. Camera people and journalists are subject to these rules. On the other hand, people do want pictures. If you are a camera-carrying participant, please, when possible, please ask permission to photograph individuals and artwork. In some cases, you may want to trade information for future contact. Should you feel that someone toting a camera is making a nuisance, contact a ranger. The policy of Burning Man is to welcome journalists and involve them as members of the community. We are non-exclusive and regard coverage as a means of communication. We work cooperatively with the media. After all, they are helping us to affect the outside world. Many participants who have found the event have learned about it through the media. Wired Magazine, 1997, for example. In exchange, however, we require reporters to absorb and respect our unique ethos. Professional video crews are pledged not to interfere with your experience. They are merely here to record what happens. There will be no videography or filming without permission. All cameras must register, whether for personal or professional purposes. Oh, gotta do that. Register. Register camera. That goes on the list.
We'll just register them.
I don't know how you register them, but maybe I don't know whether you get a sticker or whatever, or whether they, you just like, I don't know. What would you get? What would the registration process be?
Maybe just check in, tell them you got it.
Yeah, they might give you a sticker. Put on it, because that would be the only way. How else would you know a camera was registered?
Yeah.
Or maybe you get a sticker for yourself, rather than for all your pieces of equipment.
Some
little thing that notes that you've registered your stuff, so whatever you have, it's been marked. Okay.
No, not now.
I see you're trying to make me do more than one thing at once.
Sorry. Just forgive me.
All right. Okay, here you go. All cameras must... I should have just read the next sentence instead of...
Okay.
Different colored numbered tags will be used to differentiate between personal and professional. Okay. You have a right to your privacy at Burning Man. Should you encounter a person with an untagged camera, suggest they check in at Media Mecca before filming you, your art, or theme cam. Commercial media will receive a specific token indicating they've survived an initiation procedure and have agreed to boundaries in our community. An early issue of the Black Rock Gazette will outline which tokens and color tags are being used. Should you encounter a problem, you should report the person and tag number to a ranger or Media Mecca volunteer. Commerce and concessions. The sale of commercial products is prohibited within our community. Stock up before you arrive. Sale of handmade items and food items in order to cover the cost of the trip at the event are not allowed. There is no vending. Ask your neighbor should you need a specific item. Confront your own survival. This is not a consumer event.
No grilled cheese robot.
Yeah. Though ice will be available on site, all proceeds will go to support several Gerlach-Empire community groups. Meaning, to keep the event friendly with the local people, it's like donating to the policeman's ball or whatever.
Yeah.
Participation. If you want to broaden your participation in the festival, there are always volunteer positions available. Weren't you supposed to register as a volunteer? That's on the list.
Sanctioned list item.
Visit Checkpoint Salon in Central Camp. Ours is a society of activists. When we see a job that needs to be done, we are inclined to roll up our sleeves and pitch in. Keep this in mind. There is no they, only us. Burning Man is a 100% funded and staffed event. Sadly, there are always a few people who just don't get it. People who still believe the mystical they will appear to provide for their needs and clean up their mess. Help us instruct these people. If you see someone acting irresponsibly, let them know about it.
Ex with Commander Q.
36 Jesuífica Commander Q.
36 Ex with Commander Q. Train.
And spirit long radio long broadcast.
Control. working. Noise control. Sound travels on the playa. Be advised that the only reliable way to get a quiet, uninterrupted night's sleep is to bring earplugs. If you use an amplified audio system at your camp, the volume must be held to reasonable levels. If a problem with sound levels, Jesus Christ, we're going to be at this thing tonight.
That just hit me.
Wow. Wow. It just suddenly, like, burned through my brain like a, like, power of ear. Like...
Remember I told you I didn't believe that it was really
going to
happen?
Yeah.
So I didn't believe it.
Yeah, we're going to be there tonight, kid. We're going to be there. We're going to be there before it starts.
Yeah.
We're going to be so there before it starts. Alright. If a problem with sound levels continues after sufficient requests and warning, the source of power for such a device or system may be removed or temporarily confiscated. The hum of generators can become annoying over a long period of time. Please keep your neighbors in mind. We recommend generators that are sound insulated. Low-density camping. A marked area immediately behind the south side of Black Rock City will be reserved for walk-in camping. You will need to leave your vehicle and portage your belongings to your chosen spot. The sheer difficulty of this exercise will keep the area sparsely populated, and your efforts will be rewarded with solitude not available in other parts of the city. Oh, that's good. Public information. In a community rich with artists, pranksters, and storytellers, rumors abound. Accurate information about events, scheduling, public safety, and other vital concerns can be obtained through our in-camp information resources. The What, Where, When, the Black Rock Gazette, and through regular news bulletins on Radio Free Burning Man, which is set on the old dial there. Bulletin boards. There will be several playa-based resources for information. The dynamic board will be located at the greeter station. This will map coordinates for future arrivals. A card catalog in the same area will cross-reference camp names and locations and camp members. Oh, that's neat. In center camp will be the events and other information board and Burning Bell, where you can leave a message for friends. Information/lost and found. All odd and miscellaneous questions should be directed to the checkpoint salon/information booth in center camp. The information and her highly informed crew are a wealth of info about events, volunteering, found items, in conjunction with the ranger station, special camp layout or placement, kids district, energy free zone, low density camping. Hot springs. Our numbers have grown and the potential for strain on the surrounding environment has also grown. During Burning Man, participants will be discouraged from using the local hot springs. A special environmental team of Black Rock Rangers will work with the BLM and Burning Man Earth Guardians. What? Oh, these are getting bigger. Bigger bushes. That's cool. And then they disappear entirely. Burning Man Earth Guardians will be assigned to patrol and protect these fragile resources. In-and-out policy. Movement of cars is a safety hazard, and protection of the environment is of paramount importance to Burning Man. Casual traffic in and out of Black Rock City is strongly discouraged. Participants who leave and return by personal vehicle will be required to pay $20 per person. The alternative is our community bus service, which travels between Black Rock City and the nearby towns of Gerlach and Empire. A small fee will be charged for this service, which will be available Tuesday until Sunday. Toilets. Portable toilets will be provided and will be emptied regularly. Use these facilities only for their intended purpose, not for dumping garbage. Put the lid down when you're done. It helps keep odors under control. RVs. You're welcome to bring a recreational vehicle. Be aware, however, that there is no dumping station on site, and you will not be allowed to dump on the playa. Pumping may be attained for a fee on site. Ah, that'd be an issue about bringing an RV. Rental trucks. There is no corporate advertising allowed at Burning Man. Participants with rental trucks are encouraged to cover or decorate prominent logos. That's funny.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Experiment and temporary community. Because many people know only a world shaped by institutions, service workers, and commercial transactions, they may not even recognize the signs of a community. Here are a few indications. Capacity. Communities are built on the recognition of the unique abilities of every member.
Commerce and the public service sector define us on the basis of deficiency and need. Oh, that's interesting. Collective effort. Community is cooperative, uniting us as varied members of one body. When, by contrast, we consume a service, we're made passive. 50 million people may view a television program or consume a beverage in complete isolation from one another. Informality. In the community, transactions of value take place without money, advertising, or hype. Care emerges in place of structured service. Stories. In universities, people know through studies. In businesses and bureaucracies, people know by reports. In communities, people know by stories. Oh, that's interesting. Studies, reports, and stories.
What's the most important thing about the San Francisco list is it's the community. Off-season, it's where you get stories.
Right. Good point. Celebration. Community activities incorporate celebration, parties, and other social events. The line between work and play is blurred, and the human nature of everyday life becomes part of the way of work. You will know that you are in a community if you often hear laughter and singing. Oh, that's neat. Getting there from here. From Reno, let's see, take Highway East, 180 East, for approximately 30 miles. How about from the west?
Whatever turn they say to take, we'll just take it the other direction and then we'll map to it. Oh, we know the mile marker from Reno, so we know the mile that we'll be here.
Yeah, it's... What?
Sorry. Can I interrupt? We need to start thinking about where we're going to get gas. And we have three exits coming up. Oh, maybe it's the sun.
There you go. Exit 43. That's what I said yesterday. Exit 43. Yeah. That's what we do. Okay, so we take exit 43 to Highway 447. It's 75 miles to Empire, where gas and supplies are available. Continue 3 miles to Gorlock, where gas is also available. From Gorlock, go northwest 1 mile to the fork. Take the right-hand fork, Highway 34, and continue 4 miles to Burning Man. The 12-mile entrance used in previous years will not lead you to Black Rock City. This entrance will be patrolled by law enforcement. So on Highway 447, we go 75 miles. No, 78 miles. Gorlock, go 1 mile northwest of the fork. Take the right-hand fork, Highway 34, and continue for... We're on highways the whole way, Mio.
What about... What's the last little bit? When you get to the one...
Okay, the last little bit is Highway 34 and continue 4 miles to Burning Man. So the last little bit is Highway 34.
So, but then there's still at some point going to be exit 351.
Okay.
There's got to be some point where you're driving across the Playa to get to the city, though. But that 12 miles is what I was thinking of, so if you're not using that one anymore.
Yeah, they're not. The road to our encampment is your only access to Black Rock City. There are no other routes. BLM has declared an off-road closure through a 3-mile area to the north of our city. We'll be patrolled by law enforcement agencies. Anyone attempting to enter the playa off-road, as in not on the road, is bad.
Yes.
Being on the road is good.
Yes, being on the road is the only option for us. So that is good.
Margins of the lake bed are saturated with water flow. You will get stuck. Mired vehicles will remain stranded for days or weeks. Do not park along Highway 34. The Nevada Highway Patrol will take in any vehicles that are parked by the roadside. Two more things, then I'm done reading this. Our neighbors. As you arrive within sight of the Black Rock Desert, you will pass through the communities of Empire and Gorlock. Empire boasts a grocery store. You know.
Yeah, but that's not... We should do it in Alpo, where it's bigger, so we have more choices. We should do our shopping in Alpo, though, since it's bigger and we need it already.
Okay. Gorlock amenities include a gas station, a car repair and towing service, 3 restaurants, Bruno's, Jalisco's, and the Black Rock Saloon, and Burning Man's roadside office. Please remember, these twin towns are not extensions of Black Rock City. Do not replenish your water supply from a local spigot. Water is precious in the desert. This water belongs to local residents. Do not deposit any form of garbage here or by the roadside. Do not speed through these towns and avoid blocking driveways if you park your car. Behave as you would in any small community. Life moves at a slower pace in Black Rock country. Local merchants are unaccustomed to crowds of customers. Be courteous and patient, dress appropriately, and do not import a party atmosphere We are guests here. Learn the name of someone and use it. Okay, that's it. We're done. We read the thing. You're welcome. Do you feel better? That's right. I'm done just fine. I don't have any water. I'm not prepared for burning that. I'm going total water for the rest of the day. Isn't that good? Okay. Alright, end of this passage. More later. Promise.
Samuel X with Commander Q.
36 Jesuit Commander Q.
36 with Commander Q. Train.
And spirit and
the rhythm, bright red shoe, and if you ask why this is done, he'll say you're only old when you will not be young, and the frost in the window will answer you the questions you bring in a cup of you, and if his answer is not the best,
you are listening to In the Window with DJ Fox on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplants.org, port 9000. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at radio.spiritplants.org for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. Each week, In the Window will be featuring new artists you will not have heard of, and some vintage classics that you have also never heard of.
The frog in the window will sing for you. The frog in the window will smile for you, with his straw hat and his cane. And you know that you will not be the same, 'cause the frog in the window will stand for you. He'll tap out the rhythm in his bright red shoes, and if you ask why he's done,
you're listening to the community DJ Frost on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for scheduled playlists and archives.
The frog in the window will smile for you, with his strong hat and his cane. And you know that you will not be the same. In the window will dance for you. He'll tap out the rhythm in bright red shoes. And if you ask why this is done, he'll say you're only old when you will not be done. There are so many things to be done. Says right back that there's really just one. He's dressed talking in your own death.
Always makes no difference where you take our show. You can learn about the
animal and your rock and roll.
Now it's been a little here with Jim in New York. The rock and roll animal is strong.
The rock and roll is flying. We smile for you with this strong hat and tail. That you will not be the same, 'cause the frog in the window will stand for you. He'll tap out the rhythm in his bright red shoes, and if you ask why this is done, he'll say you're only old when you will not be young. And the frog in the window will
1999, 2:17 p.m. About half an hour ago, we left the town of Elko, Nevada. We bought groceries. I now have a pair of shoes that fit properly. All sorts of things. We're 257 miles from the California border, but we're not actually going all the way. We're going to exit 43. So that's 214 miles on I-80. Then we get off I-80 and we head north on Route 447, which will take us to Gerlach, Nevada, which is one of the two towns closest to Black Rock Desert. / Black Rock City. While on Route 447, Pyramid Lake will be on our left side, and a dry lake, Winnemucca Lake, will be on our right side. What else can I say? I guess the closest town to where we are now is called Beowa. Beowawe. The land is still desert and mountains, and we're fortunate in that while we've had at least one long rise up a mountain, we've also had a lot of downhill. Downhills too. And let me see if I can figure out what the deal is. Let's see. We're going downhill, meow. From our peak at Emigrant Pass, 6,114 feet, by exit 229, or mile 229, we will have dropped 1,500 feet. Then it's going to rise 600 feet. Then it's going to drop 900 feet. It's going to drop 300 more feet by Lovelock. It'll be at 3,900. So it's mostly downhill on the remainder of 80. So it'll be one more uphill, and I don't think it'll be too bad. But on the other hand, I think we'll be on a fairly steady rise to Gerlach, because there's Pahrump Peak, elevation 7,800. That's near Gerlach. So anyway, the car's running well right now, and the roads are good and well paved and everything. So far so good. We're really getting close. Getting really close. The last chunk, the 447, is 75 miles. So the number 75 in your mind, Neil, if you would.
What's that?
Keep the number 75 in your mind.
Yeah.
253 minus 43. 210. We are 285 miles from Gerlach, Nevada, which is the closest town to Burning Man.
285 miles.
Which means, yeah, it'll be about 5 hours. It's maybe less, maybe more. It's 2:21 p.m. Expecting to arrive at dusk or thereabouts. I must have come through this country before. On the Amtrak train, I see a well-kept train track to the right of the road, a bit in the distance. And I think that I think Lovelock was the town that I remember passing through, getting off and walking around for a few minutes. And I remember there being absolutely nothing there of any interest, but I still had some interest in just seeing things, so it was really, really cool. By the time my train got to the Sierra Nevada Mountains, this was back in 95 when I took a train from Boston to Chicago, train Chicago to San Francisco. By the time we got to the Sierra Nevada Mountains, I was dirty, tired, exhausted, disgusted, and wanting to get off the fucking train. But happily, there have been showers and beds along this route, so it's been not nearly as difficult to get across the country this time. p.m. Interstate Highway 80, August 29th, 1999. Wow, I said that all mixed up, isn't that cool? Interstate Highway 80, August 29th, 1999, 3:35 p.m. Let's see. Coming up to exit I-80 West. Exit 180 in 1 mile near the town of Winnemucca, W-I-N-N-E-M-U-C-C-A. It's time for some more Robert Heinlein, Time Enough for Love. March 3rd, 1917, Kaiser plots with Mexico and Japan to attack USA. Zimmerman telegram authentic. April 2nd, 1917, President addresses Congress, asks war. April 6, 1917, America enters war. Congress declares a state of belligerency exists. Lazarus Lung was as taken by surprise by the date of the outbreak of war with Germany as he was unsurprised by the fact itself. He was caught so flat-footed that it was not until later that he analyzed why the hindsight he had relied on had proved even more myopic than foresight. The resumption of unrestricted U-boat warfare early in 1917 had not surprised him. It fitted his recollection of his earliest history lessons. The Zimmerman telegram did not disturb him, even though he did not remember it. It matched a pattern he did remember, again from history, not the direct memories of a very small child. A period of 3 years, 1914 to 1917, when the United States had inched slowly from neutrality to war. Woody Smith had been not yet two when the war started, not yet five when this country got into it. Lazarus had no first-hand memories of foreign affairs of a time when Woody had been too young to grasp such remote improbabilities. The timetable Lazarus had fixed on, once he discovered that he had arrived 3 years early, had worked so well that he did not realize that its clock was wrong until the event slapped him in the face. When he was able to take time to analyze his mistake, he saw that he had committed the prime sin against survival. He had indulged in wishful thinking. He had wanted to believe his timetable. He had not wanted to leave his newfound first family so quickly, all of them, but especially Maureen. Maureen, Once he decided to stay on until July 1, as originally planned, after a long night of wrestling with his troubled soul, a night of indecision and worry and letters written and destroyed, he discovered that he could stay and treat Mrs. Bryan Smith with friendly but formal politeness, avoid any sign of interest in her more personal than the mores permitted. He managed to shift to his celibate mode, happy to be near her when it was possible to be so without causing Mrs. Grundy's nose to twitch, or even the even sharper nose of his grandfather. Lazarus had indeed been happy. As with Tamara or the twins or any of his darlings, coupling was not necessary to love. When it was expedient, he could bank the fires and forget it. He was never for one instant unaware of the tremendous physical attraction of this woman who had been his mother more than 2,000 years ago, in some odd direction. But the matter was shelved. It did not affect his manner or lessen his happiness when he was permitted to be near her. He believed Maureen knew what he was doing, or refraining from doing, and why, and that she appreciated his restraint. All during March, he sought approved ways to see her. Brian Jr. wanted to learn to drive. Grandpa ruled that he was old enough, so Lazarus taught him, picked him up at the house and returned him there, and often was rewarded with a glimpse of Maureen. Lazarus even found a way other than chess to reach Woody. He took the child to the Hippodrome Theater to see the magician Thurston the Great, then promised to take him, when it opened for the summer, to Electric Park, an amusement park, and Woody's idea of heaven. This consolidated a truce between them. Lazarus delivered the child home from the theater, sound asleep and with no more than normal wear and tear, and was rewarded by sharing coffee with Grandpa and Maureen. Lazarus volunteered to help with the Boy Scout troop sponsored by the church. George was a tenderfoot and Brian was working toward Eagle. Lazarus found being an assistant scoutmaster pleasant in itself, and Grandpa invited him in when he gave the boys a lift home. Checking, making sure everything looks good. No evil pause button. Excellent. That pause button was really more trouble than it was worth. I really hated it. Oh my god. I mean, ordinarily you don't want to mess with a piece of equipment, you know, stereo equipment, and, you know, break it, but that thing, I mean, I showed it to you. Every time I, like, was, like, checking, it's like, yeah, I had a problem with pause buttons.
You have a very permanent solution to this one.
Yeah.
It has worked rather well.
Yeah, it didn't, it wasn't intended that way, but it worked out. Okay. Lazarus found being an assistant scoutmaster pleasure in itself, and Graf invited him in when he gave the boys a lift home. Lazarus gave little attention to foreign affairs. He continued to buy the Kansas City Post because the newsboy at 31st and Troost regarded him as a regular customer, a real sport who paid a nickel for a penny paper and did not expect change. But Lazarus rarely read it, not even the market news, once he completed his liquidations. The week starting Sunday, the 1st of April, Lazarus did not plan to see his family for two reasons. Grandpa was away, and his father was home. Lazarus did not intend to meet his father until he could manage it naturally and easily through Gramp. Instead, he stayed home, did his own cooking, caught up on chores, did mechanical work on his lodgelette, and cleaned and polished it, and wrote a long letter to his Tertius family. This he took with him Thursday morning, intending to prepare it for delay mail. He bought a newspaper as usual at 31st and Troost. After he was seated in a streetcar, he glanced at its front page, then broke his habit of enjoying the ride by reading it carefully. Instead of going to the Kansas City Photo Supply Company, he went to the main public library's reading room and spent 2 hours catching up with the world, the local papers, the Tuesday's New York Times, where he read the text of the president's message to God, to Congress, saying, God helping her, she can do no other. And the Chicago Tribune of the day before. He noted that the Tribune, staunchest foe of England outside the German language press, was now hedging its bets. He then went to the men's toilet, tore into small pieces the letter he had prepared, and flushed it down a water closet. He went to the Missouri Savings Bank, drew out his account, went next to the downtown office of the Santa Fe Railroad, and bought a ticket to Los Angeles with a 30-day stopover privilege at Flagstaff, Arizona. Stopped at the stationer's, then onto the Commonwealth Bank, and got at his lockbox, removed from it a smaller box heavy with gold. He asked to use the bank's washroom. His status as a lockbox client got him this privilege. With gold pieces distributed among 13 pockets of his coat, vest, and trousers, Lazarus no longer looked smart. He tended to sag here and there, but if he walked carefully, he did not jingle. So he walked most carefully, had his nickel ready on boarding a streetcar, then stood on the rear platform rather than sit down. He was not easy until he was locked and bolted into his apartment. He stopped to make and eat a sandwich. Then got to work on tailoring, sewing the yellow coins into one coin pockets of the chemi vest he had made earlier, then covered it with the vest from which it had been patterned. Lazarus forced himself to work slowly, restoring seams so neatly that the nature of the garment could not be detected by anyone not wearing it. About midnight, he had another sandwich, got back to work. When he was satisfied with fit and appearance, he put the money vest aside, placed a folded blanket on the table where he had been working, placed on a heavy, tall Oliver typewriter. He attacked the clanking monster with two fingers, writing or typing. At Kansas City, Gregorian 5, April 1917. Dearest Lauren Laz, emergency. I need to be picked up. I hope to be at the impact crater by Monday, 9 April 1917. Repeat, 9 April 1917. I may be one or two days late. I will wait there 10 days, if possible. If not picked up, I will try to keep the 1926 rendezvous. Thanks, Lazarus. Lazarus typed two originals of this, then addressed two sets of nesting envelopes using different choices on each, and addressing the outermost envelopes to his envelopes, one to his local contact, and the other to a Chicago address. He then wrote a bill of sale. For $1 in hand, and other good and valuable considerations, I sell and convey all my interest right and title to one Ford Model T automobile, body style Lajulette, engine number 1290408, to Ira Johnson, and warrant to him and his successors that this chattel is unencumbered and I'm sole owner with full right to convey title. Signed, Theodore Bronson, April 6, 1917 A.D. Who's Ira Johnson?
Graham,
okay. He placed this in a plain envelope, put it with the others, drank a glass of milk, went to bed. He slept 10 hours, undisturbed by cries of extra, extra along the boulevard. He had expected them. His subconscious discounted them and let him rest. He expected to be very busy the next several days. When his inner clock called him, he got up quickly, bathed and shaved, cooked and ate a large breakfast, cleaned his kitchen, removed all perishables from his icebox, and emptied them into a garbage can on the rear service porch, and turned the ice cart around to read, "No ice today," left 15 steps on top of the icebox, emptied the drip pan. There was a fresh quart of milk by the ice. He had not ordered it, but he had not specifically not ordered it, so he put 6 cents in an empty bottle with a note telling the milkman not to leave milk until the next time he left money out. He packed a grip, toilet articles, socks, underwear, shirts, and collars. To Lazarus, those high-starched collars symbolized all the tight-minded taboos of this otherwise pleasant age. Then rapidly searched the apartment for everything of a personal nature. The rent was paid till the end of April. With good luck, he expected to be in the Dora long before then. With bad luck, he would be in South America, but with worse luck, he would be somewhere else, anywhere, and under another name. He wanted Ted Bronson to disappear without a trace. Shortly, he had waiting at the front door a grip, an overcoat, a winter suit, a set of chessmen in ivory and ebony, and a typewriter. He finished dressing, being careful to place three envelopes and his ticket in an inner pocket of his suit coat. The money vest was too warm, but not uncomfortable. The distributed weight was not bad. He piled it all into the tonneau of the Lajulette. Back my various sundry bookmarks, which they're not even really bookmarks, they're just things stuck in here that now live here, as you would say. They live in the book. The tonneau of the Lajulette drove to the South Side Postal Substation, registered two letters, went from there to the pawn shop next to the Idle Hour billiard parlor. He noted with wry amusement that the Swiss Garden had its blinds down and a sign closed. Mr. Dattelbaum was willing to accept the typewriter against a gun, but wanted $5 to boot for the little Colt pistol Lazarus selected. Lazarus let the pawnbroker conduct both sides of the dicker. Lazarus sold the typewriter and the suit, left his overcoat and took a pawn ticket, received a handgun and a box of cartridges. He was, in fact, giving Mr. Dattelbaum the overcoat since he had no intention of redeeming it, but Lazarus got what he wanted plus $3 cash, had unloaded chattels he no longer needed, and had given his friend the pleasure of one last dicker. That's very nice. The gun fitted into a left-side vest pocket Lazarus had retailored into a makeshift holster. Short of being frisked, most unlikely for so obviously respectable a citizen, it would not be noticed. A kilt was better for both concealment and for quick access, but it was the best he could manage with the clothes he had to wear, and this gun had had its front sight filed off by some practical-minded former owner. He was now through with Kansas City, save for saying goodbye to his first family, then grabbed his first Santa Fe Rattler West. It distressed him that Grep had gone to St. Louis, but that could not be helped, and this one time he would pull his way in with a convincing cover story. The chess set as a present for Woody was reason enough to show up in person. The bill of sale gave an excuse to speak to his father. No, sir, this is not exactly a present, but somebody might as well drive it until the war is over. And if by any chance I don't come back, well, this makes things simpler. You understand me, sir? Your father-in-law being my best friend and sort of my next of kin since I don't have any. That's clever. Yes, that would work and result in a chance to say goodbye to all the family, including Maureen, especially Maureen, without quite lying. Best way to lie. Just one thing. If his father wanted to enlist him into his own outfit, then one lie must be used. Lazarus was dead set on joining the Navy. No offense intended, sir. I know you're just back from Plattsburgh, but the Navy needs men, too. What? But he would not tell that lie unless forced to. What? But he's dead set on joining the Navy. Okay, I got it. He left his car back at the pawn shop, crossed the street to a drugstore, and telephoned. Is this the Brian Smith residence? Yes, it is. Mrs. Smith, this is Mr. Bronson. May I speak to Mr. Smith? This isn't Mama, Mr. Bronson. This is Nancy. Oh, isn't it terrible? Yes, it is, Miss Nancy. You want to speak to Papa? But he's not here. He's gone to Fort Leavenworth to report in, and we don't know when we'll see him again. There, dear, please don't cry, please. I was not crying. I'm just a teensy bit upset. Do you want to speak to Mama? She's here, but she's lying down. Lazarus thought fast. Of course he wanted to speak to Maureen. But, confound it, this was a complication. Please don't disturb her. Can you tell me when your grandfather will be back in town? Could he afford to wait? Oh, damn. Why, Grandpa got back yesterday. Oh, may I speak to him, Miss Nancy? But he's not here either. He went downtown hours ago. He might be at his chess club. Do you want to leave a message for him? No, just tell him I called and we'll call again later. And, Miss Nancy, don't worry. How can I help worrying? I have second sight. Don't tell anyone, but it's true. An old gypsy woman saw that I had it and proved it to me. Your father is coming home and will not be hurt in this war. I know. I don't know whether to believe that or not, but it does make me feel better. It's true, he said goodbye gently and hung up. Chess club. Surely Grant would not be loafing in a pool hall today. But since it was just across the street, he might as well see before driving out to Benton and waiting inside of the house for him to return. Grandpa was there at the chess table, but not even pretending to work a chess problem. He was simply glowering. Good morning, Mr. Johnson. Grandpa looked up. What's good about it? Sit down, Ted. Thank you, sir. Lazarus slid into the other chair. Not much good about it, I suppose. Eh? The old man looked at him as if just noticing his presence. Ted, would you say I was a man in good physical condition? Yes, certainly. Able to shoulder a gun and march 20 miles a day? I would think so. I'm sure you could, Graham. But that's what I told that smart aleck at the recruiting station. He told me I was too old. Ira Johnson looked ready to break into tears. I asked him since when was 45 too old, and he told me to move aside. Wow. 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 Okay. I'm going to finish this on the current tape. Gotta roll. Where's the switch? And he told me to move aside. I was holding up the line. I offered to step outside and whip him, and any two men he picked. And they put me out, Ted. They put me out. Graham covered his face with his hands, then took him down and muttered. I was wearing army blue before that snotty little shike poke was learning to pee standing up. I'm sorry, sir. My own fault. I fetched along my discharge and forgot about it having my birth date on it. Look, Ted, if I dyed my hair and went back to St. Louis or Joplin, that would work, wouldn't it? Probably. I know it didn't, Gramp, but I think you did manage to talk your way into the home guard, but I can't tell you that. I'll do it, but I'm leaving my discharge at home. In the meantime, may I drive you home? My tin Lizzie is around in back. Well, I suppose I've got to go home eventually. How about a little spin out paseo to cool off first? That's an idea. Nice idea, but for some reason it's colloquial. After not being colloquial for 50 pages with this grandpa, suddenly he's being colloquial for one sentence. Bye, line. I think Virginia interrupted him for pleasures of food and, you know, whatever. Just came in and said, Bob. Maybe Phil Dick came over and was talking about colloquialisms.
So.
I always had the feeling they knew each other, though I couldn't be sure. They were certainly contemporaries to a certain degree. That's a nice idea. Won't put you out? Not at all. Lazarus drove around keeping silent until the old man's fuming stopped. When Lazarus noted this, he headed back and turned east on 31st Street and parked. Mr. Johnson, may I say something? Eh? Speak up. If they won't take you, even with your hair dyed, I hope you won't feel too bad about it. Because this war is a terrible mistake. What do you mean? Just what I said. How much to tell him? How much can I get him to believe? I can't hold back altogether. This is Grim, who taught me to shoot, and a thousand other things. But what will he believe? This war won't do the slightest good. It'll just make things worse. Grim stared at him under knotted brows. What are you, Ted, pro-German? No. Pacifist, maybe? Come to think about it, you've never had one word to say about the war. No, I'm not a pacifist, and I'm not pro-German, but if we win this war... You mean when we win this war? All right, when we win this war, it will turn out we've actually lost it, lost everything we thought we were fighting for. Mr. Johnson abruptly changed tactics. When are you enlisting? Lazarus hesitated. I've got a couple of things I must do first. I thought that might be your answer, Mr. Bronson. Goodbye. Grant fumbled with the door latch, cursed, and stepped over under the running board, thence to the curb. Lazarus said, Grant, I mean Mr. Johnson, let me finish running you home, please. Grant, his grandfather paused just long enough to look back and say, Not in your tin type, you pusillanimous pissier. Then he marched steadily down the street to the car stop. Lazarus waited and watched Mr. Johnson climb aboard, then he trailed the trolley car, unable to admit that there was nothing he could do to correct the shambles he had made of his relations with Gramp. He watched the old man get off at Benton Boulevard, considered overtaking him and try to speak to him. But what could he say? He understood how Gramp felt and why. And he had already said too much, and no further words could call it back or correct it. He drove aimlessly on down 31st Street. At Indiana Avenue, he parked his car, bought a star from a newsboy, went into a drugstore, sat down at the soda fountain, ordered a cherry phosphate to justify his presence, looked at the newspaper, but was unable to read it. Instead, he stared at it and brooded. When the soda jerk wiped the marble counter in front of him and lingered, Lazarus ordered another phosphate. When this happened a second time, Lazarus asked to use the telephone. Home or Bell? Home. Back of the cigarette counter, and you pay me. Brian, this is Mr. Johnson. May I speak to your mother? I'll go see. But it was grandfather's voice that came on the line. Mr. Bronson, your sheer effrontery amazes me. What do you want? Mr. Johnson, I want to speak to Mrs. Smith. You can't. Because she has been very kind to me, and I want to thank her and say goodbye. One moment. He heard his grandfather say, George, get out. Brian, take Woody with you and close the door and see that it stays closed. Mr. Johnson's voice then came back closer. Are you still there? Yes, sir. Then listen carefully and don't interrupt. I'm going to say this just once. Yes, sir. My daughter will not speak to you, now or ever. Lazarus said quickly, Does she know that I asked to speak to her? Shut up. Certainly she knows. She asked me to deliver that message, or I would not have spoken to you myself. Now, I too have a message for you, and don't interrupt. My daughter is a respectable married woman whose husband has answered his country's call. So don't hang around her. Don't come here, or you'll meet with a shotgun. Don't telephone. Don't go to her church. Maybe you think I can't make this stick. Let me remind you that this is Kansas City. Two broken arms cost $25. For twice that, they'll kill you. But for a combined deal, break your arms first and then kill you, there's a discount. I can afford $62.50 if you make it necessary. Understand me? Yes. So 23 skidoo. Hold it, Mr. Johnson. I do not believe that you would hire a man to kill another man. You'd better not risk it, because I think you would kill him yourself. There was a pause, then the old man chuckled slightly. You may be right. He hung up on Lazarus. Lazarus cranked his car and drove away. Presently, he found that he was driving west on Linwood Boulevard, noticed it because he had passed his family's church when he had first seen Maureen, where he would never see her again. Not ever. Not even if he came back again and tried to avoid the mistakes he had made. There were no paradoxes. Those mistakes were unalterably part of the fabric of space-time, and all of the subtleties of Annie's mathematics, all of the powers built into the door, could not erase them. At Linwood Plaza, he parked short of Brooklyn Avenue and considered what to do next. Drive to the station and catch the next Santa Fe train west. farther of those calls for help lasted through the centuries, then he would be picked up on Monday morning, and this war and all its troubles would again be something that happened a long time ago, and Ted Bronson would be something Grandpa and Maureen had known briefly and would forget. Too bad he had not had time to get those messages etched. Nevertheless, one of them might last. If not, then make rendezvous for pickup in 1926. Or if none of them got through, always a possibility since he was attempting to use delay mail before it was properly set up. Then wait for 1929 and carry out rendezvous as originally planned. No problem about that. The twins and Dora were ready to keep that one no matter what. Then why did he feel so bad? This wasn't his war. Time enough and Gramp would know that the prediction he had blurted out was simple truth. In time, Gramp would learn what French gratitude amounted to. When Lafayette, we are here, was forgotten, and the refrain was, Passe un sou à l'Amérique. That means not a penny for America. Something close. Yeah. Yeah, not a penny for America. Or British gratitude, for that matter. There was no gratitude between nations. Never had been. Never would be. Pro-German? Hell no, Gramp. There is something rotten at the very heart of German culture, and this war is going to lead to another, with German atrocities 1,000 times more terrible than any they are accused of today. Gas chambers? Wow. 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 Gas chambers and the stink of burning flesh in planned viciousness. A stench that lasted through the centuries. But there was no way to tell Grandpa and Maureen any of this, nor should he try. The best thing about the future was that it was unknown. Cassandra's one good quality was that she was never believed. So why should it matter that two people who could not possibly know what he knew misunderstood why he thought this war was useless? But the fact was that it did matter. It mattered terribly. He felt a slight bulge against his left ribs, a defense for his gold. Gold that he did not give a damn about, but a termination option switch too. Oh, that would be the gun. Snap out of it, you silly fool. You don't want to be dead. You simply want the approval of Grandpa and Maureen. The recruiting station was under the main post office far downtown. Late as it was still open with a queue outside. Lazarus paid an old Negro $1 to sit in his car, warned him that there was a grip in the back, promised him another $1 when he got back, and did not mention the money vest and pistol, both now in the grip. But Lazarus did not worry about the car or money. Might be simpler if both were stolen. He joined the queue. Name? Bronson, Theodore. Previous military experience? None. Age of birth? Date of birth, and it had better be before April 5th, 1889. November 11th, 1890. Oh, that's Armistice Day. You don't look that old, but okay. Take this paper in through that door. You'll find sacks or pillowcases. Take your clothes off, put them in one, keep them with you. Hand this to one of the docs and do what he tells you. Thank you, Sergeant. Get moving. Next. A doctor in uniform assisted by 6 more in civilian clothes. Lazarus read the Snellen card carefully, but the doctor did not seem to be listening. This seemed to be a warm body examination. Lazarus saw only one man rejected, one who was, in Lazarus's horseback judgment, in the terminal stages of consumption. Only one physician seemed at all anxious to find defects. He had Lazarus bend over and pull his buttock cheeks apart, felt for hernias and made him cough, then palpated his belly. What's this hard mass on the right side? I don't know, sir. Have you had your appendix out? Yes, I see the scar. Feel the ridge, rather. The scar hardly shows. You had a good surgeon. I wish I could do one that neat. Probably just a mass of fecal matter there. Take a dose of calomel, and you'll be rid of it by morning. Thank you, doctor. Don't mention it, son. Next. Hold up your right hands and repeat after me. Hang on to these slips of paper. Be at the station before 7 tomorrow morning. Show your slip to a sergeant at the information desk. He'll tell you where to board. If you lose your slip of paper, be there anyhow, or Uncle Sam will come looking for you. That's all, men. You're in the army now. Out through that door. His car was still there. The old Negro got out. Everything's fine, Captain. It surely is, Lazarus agreed heartily while getting out a dollar bill. But it's private, not Captain. They took you? In that case, I can't hardly take your dollar. Sure you can. I don't need it. Uncle Sam is looking out for me for the duration, and he's going to pay me $21 a month besides. So So put this with the other one and buy gin and drink a toast to me, Private Ted Bronson. I couldn't rightly do that, Captain, Private Ted Bronson, sir. I'm White Ribbon. I took the pledge before you was born. You just keep your money and hang the Kaiser for us. Come on now, Bob. You're breaking into dialect here. He has intermittent enthusiasm for authentic language.
Yeah.
I think this is still the passage where Phil Dick was talking about something to him earlier in the day, and he's still worked up.
Yeah.
Virginia's going to spend the rest of the day in the garden. She's not going to be anywhere near it. I'll try, Uncle. Let's make this $5 and you can give it to your church and say a prayer for me. Well, if you say so, Captain Private. Lazarus tooled south on McGee feeling happy. Never take little bites. Enjoy life. Kakady, beautiful Kakady. Am I singing or something?
I'm just about out of tape.
Daniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q. Train.
And spirit and
we is one with our living green brethren, brothers and sisters and bursting blisters. We is one multiplicitously with these multicolored mysteries, the creatures, I wanted to make a little dedication to my fellow Spirit Plants Radio DJ, DJ Frogs, because I heard from Ray last night that he passed just the other day. He was a decent age, I think. I never knew him, never met him. I started listening to his show properly this year. It was Boxing Day when I first came across him, and I tuned into Spirit Plants Radio for a bit, and every Boxing Day Ray plays DJ Frogs' Brain Song, which is like 24 hours of just the amazing stuff. Like, Frogs had basically been collecting random bits and bobs from the recorded off the radio and old cassettes and records and audiobooks and things, and he had like some kind of echo machine and some little devices that he was processing the stuff with, and assembled this huge 24-hour project. And I just tuned in for like an hour or so, and it was amazing, really. Made me laugh, and since then I've been listening to Frogs' radio show In the Window, both as the new ones come out, there's nearly 300 of them, and going back to the beginning and sort of listening through, and he's got really excellent taste in music, and there's like a real sense of humour and sense of fun going through all his work. It made me quite sad to hear that he had passed, because I had meant to email him and tell him that I really appreciated his stuff. and I hadn't done it yet. So I was a bit gutted that I hadn't got it together, at least just to send him a quick email and let him know that I really appreciated his stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to record a quick dedication to him, a quick acknowledgement of his work and his life. And there's quite a few frogs in this episode already. We live in the marshes and there's some ponds around the house and stuff, so in quite a few of my recordings, once spring gets underway, you'll hear the frogs singing. So I wanted to make something a little bit silly and funny in honour of DJ Mad as a box of frogs. Odd bless his soul. Rest in peace, dude. This one is for you.
Thank you. death. The read on the speed meter says you have to go to task in the city, where people drown and people serve. Don't be shy, you just deserve only just light years to go. Me, my thoughts are flowers strewn, ocean storm they bury me. I have got to leave to find my way. Watch the road and memorize this life that passed before my eyes. Nothing is going my way. The ocean is a river's goal. The need to leave the water knows we're closer now than life. To find the river, Bergamot, Vetiver, run through my head and fall away. Leave the road and memorize this life that passed before my eyes. Nothing is going my way. This is going my way.